Well, good morning, everyone. Welcome to another News and Focus program. It's Sunday morning, 25th of January. I haven't been on in the last couple Sunday mornings because, quite frankly, it seems like there's nothing in the news worthy of even talking about. Or it's the same old, same old. And, I thought for just a moment I would like to remind you about what's going on and ask a few questions regarding the March for Life in the U.S. Capitol. The date of our article is January 23rd, the year 2015. The source is ChristianNews.net. Barack Obama reaffirmed his, and I quote, deep commitment to abortion on Thursday, despite the throng of thousands gathered in the nation's capital for the annual March for Life, marking the 42nd anniversary of the Supreme Court ruling Roe v. Wade. 42 years ago today, the U.S. Supreme Court issued its ruling in Roe v. Wade, a decision that protects a woman's freedom to make her own choices about her body and her health, and reaffirms a fundamental American value that government should not intrude in our most private and personal matters, end quote, Obama wrote in an official statement. Continuing, he says, I am deeply committed to protecting this core constitutional right, he continued. The federal government should not be interjecting itself into decisions best made between women, their families, and their doctors. What a double standard we find continually within our federal government. They'll get involved in education, they'll get involved in this, that, and another thing, but for some reason, in this area, there is now a perception, a narrative being written, a story being told that the federal government should respect the private matters of a family. As in years past, Obama also commented that he is deeply committed to continuing our work to reduce unintended pregnancies, support maternal and child health, promote adoptions, and minimize the need for abortion. But he stated that he ultimately wanted women to have equality with men. Today, as we reflect on this critical moment in our history, may we all rededicate ourselves to ensuring that our daughters have the same rights, freedoms, and opportunities as our sons. And what he means by that clever language is that if our daughter happens to get pregnant and this could interfere with her plans, her work opportunities, her career, her education, then we want to make sure that she can execute abortion on demand. Shocking, isn't it? Utterly shocking that someone could say that they are deeply committed to abortion. Who, in their right mind, could be deeply committed to the taking of human life? Who could be deeply committed to some things? Perhaps an exceptionally pragmatic point of view could be tolerated for a moment of discussion, but to suggest that someone is deeply committed to abortion is absurd. It is disheartening. It makes me question the moral fiber of this man. And where is he at? And what compass guides his daily decisions? Where does he find his inner strength? Certainly it's not the God of the Bible. Certainly the truths of the Word of God do not lead, guide, and direct him as he executes the duties of the President of the United States. And my concern is, while he is in his final years of the presidency, what about the next candidate? What about the next candidate? Will the next candidate that the parties put up, will he or she be just as committed as the president? And how many Christians, so-called Christians, will cast a vote for a candidate that is deeply committed to abortion? Or will we have the same thing happen that happened 6-7 years ago? Will we have a narrative being communicated that is palatable and tolerable to the Christian community? But once elected, that story begins to be redefined in such a way that we move from being a president who promotes adoptions to a president who is deeply committed to abortion. How can we have such a transition? In the meantime, tens of thousands of Americans, reading from the article, took to the National Mall in Washington for the annual March for Life, an event that attracts pro-life citizens from across America. In addition to the traditional march to the Supreme Court, participants gathered to listen to speeches from a number of pro-life figures, including Representative Chris Sain, Republican from New Jersey, Senator Tim Scott, Republican from South Carolina. Some carried signs and some chanted slogans such as Roe versus Wade has got to go. While some pro-life Christians skipped the event due to its ecumenical nature, a small group of abortion advocates were present to counter the march, bearing signs that read, abortions on demand and without apology. Several were arrested, being taken away in handcuffs. This year, some of the marchers expressed frustration with Congress after it decided to scrap the Pain Capable Unborn Child Protection Act, which would have ended abortion after 20 weeks. Some female lawmakers had expressed opposition to the measure, including those who are Republican, mainly due to its requirement that women who seek an abortion following rape report the criminal act. But while some thought the bill was too strict, others didn't think it went far enough, as it left exceptions. Listen to now this particular language. When we say that a child can feel pain at 20 weeks and that we should not kill them, tear their arms and legs off, why would we make an exception for anyone at 20 weeks? Why would we make an exception for anyone at 20 weeks? A child can feel pain. Scientists, doctors have concluded that at 20 weeks, the child clearly feels pain. Imagine such a thing, and yet we continue to promote these abortions beyond 20 weeks that bring such destruction to the child in the womb. How disheartening. How brutal are we as a nation? How selfish are we as a nation? How materialistic are we as a nation? How far removed are we from nations in the past that threw babies to fires and offered them to false gods and attempted to appease gods with child sacrifice? How far removed are we? Isn't the new God the God of materialism, the God of a career, the God of my future? Isn't that the new God to which babies are offered on a consistent and regular and frightening pace in this nation? Isn't it quite disheartening that our Congress just can't put together such a bill, won't introduce it because lawmakers are afraid of the bill being potential political suicide, and we certainly wouldn't want to risk a second term or a third term in office when members of Congress get voted in and out like a revolving door, and this is too good of a gig to give up on a measure, a bill that would perhaps end my time in Washington. And so the bill gets shelved. Yes, it got shelved. It was not presented forward to be considered, to be voted on. Members weren't forced to make a decision. Senator Tred Frank says, "It was one of the most disappointing moments of my life." He was the main sponsor of the bill after learning that it would not be moving forward in Congress at this time. That's when the Speaker of the House decides this is too risky, and the bill gets put on a shelf to die an eventual death. Would to God that members of Congress had enough intestinal fortitude to vote the bill forward and make it illegal in this nation to have an abortion after 20 weeks. Who will you vote for in the next election? That's the question. What kind of Christian are you? And what candidates will you vote for the next time the office is open? The next time the position is vacant? The next time it's time to choose a candidate? Who will you vote for?